This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors. And today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to. And you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
You're tuning into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin! We could be
immortals! Oh, great song choice. Guys, welcome to the Flash After Show on AfterBuzz TV. It's not only our favorite day of the week, but it's our first season. It's a crossover episode, Legends of Today. And oh my god, I loved it. We've got the gang here, but also we're crossing over the AfterBuzz TV show. So joining us from the Arrow show, as always, is Tarib on the couch. It's Katie Colin.
Hi, all my buddies. You can find me on Twitter at Kiaxet. It's K-I-A-X-E-T.
I'm sorry, how do you pronounce that?
Kiaxet.
Oh, of course.
Because I'm pretentious, or I was when I picked it 10 years ago.
Fantastic. Let's do the intros and get into it. I'm Jeffrey Masters. I tweet from Jeff Masters 1.
I'm Michael Andrew. You can find me on Twitter at Michael_Drew, Michael E-A-L.
I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me on Twitter at Tari J. It's T-A-U-R-I-J-A-Y.
And I'm Roxy Stryer, and you guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer. I feel like we're very clever with our crossover based on this crossover. I'm feeling trendy.
It's tradition at this point.
Yeah, I like it.
A little crossover going.
Yeah. And so what did everyone think of the episode on the whole? This, I guess, was like part one.
Which means that there's going to be a whole lot of Arrow-only fans tomorrow night who are like, what happened? Yeah. Did we walk in the middle of a story? Yes, honey.
Yeah.
Yes,
you
did.
I feel like we got the lucky end because now we have to finish it.
Yeah.
We're not coming at that in half. What were you saying?
No, I was going to say I'm kind of guilty of that because I've never watched Arrow. And I know that's blasphemous, but I've never really had the chance to really go binge watch crazy on my Netflix. So I haven't really partook in it. So there were so many moments where I was like, whoa, what's happening? But it was interesting to me, though.
Well, Christmas break's coming up.
Yeah, it was interesting enough for me to make me want to jump into Arrow.
I'm so curious about your guys' perspective because I almost kind of felt bad. There was so much reference to Arrow tonight. It wasn't like last year's crossover where we kind of had some of the gang come in and then their episode, some of our gang went there. This was a straight-up two-hour episode crossing over two nights. So I loved it. I'm a massive Arrow fan. I'm a huge Flash fan. There were some moments where I'm like, maybe different words or choices I would have picked. But overall, I was super satisfied, and I cannot wait to see tomorrow's episode.
Yeah, I think maybe I would have been more satisfied if I was an Arrow fan, if I watched Arrow. But I was still left partially satisfied. I mean, I was still very into it. It left me wanting to watch Arrow. I didn't feel lost at any point.
Right.
You know, I felt, you know, maybe it's because I was next to Tari and you, but I turned around like, oh, wait, what happened? Oh, and it's like reading a comic book, because if you read comic books, there's always going to be a crossover event here or there. And more often than not, it makes you want to pick up the other stuff, or at least makes you want to Google them or read that Wikipedia.
At this point for comics, it's Wiki.
Yeah,
Wiki.
Yeah.
Real.
Right. Pretty much.
And Wiki, yeah.
How many years of history do we... All right, how long is the Wiki page?
Yeah.
All right, Tari, what'd you think?
I thought it was really interesting. I thought that, like... I felt like even if I hadn't been watching Arrow, they gave enough backstory to everything that they had introduced, for the most part, in their opening sequence. I loved, I don't know about you guys, but I really loved all the character interactions, especially in the drink scene. Like, that to me was the best part.
Party time!
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I kind of agree with something Katie said before we got in here, in that I like the back and forth talking, but it was kind of... they're very cheesy shows anyway, but
right.
It's like the cheese, there was a level of cheese where I was kind of like, eh, where some of the lines missed me.
Yeah.
You know,
I feel
so,
like the Flash writers aren't quite on par with the Arrow characters, just because you're taking characters...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
From a show with a very different tone that has gotten lighter this past season, and then throwing them into a show that has almost always been light with the occasional, oh my god, what happened to my feelings sort of episode.
Wait,
so there was a lot of dialogue that was just super cheesy. Like, this is why we ask questions.
Okay, hold on.
Thanks, Oliver.
You don't think that this was Arrow and Flash writers working together on both episodes?
If it was... I don't think the Arrow side of the dialogue was handled super well.
I just can't see them doing a two-parter crossover that's pretty much one episode that's 2 hours and not involving both writers' rooms.
I don't think it's that one was better than the other or that they're not on parts. I don't know if they're necessarily on the same page all the time.
Yeah. Right.
And Arrow has gotten a little more campy and a little more fun, but it still is way grittier and darker. So when we bring them on to Flash, we're trying to appeal to Flash fans, so we kind of lighten them up, and so that's why things come out very strange from Oliver's mouth. Like, what did you do, Thea? And it's like,
this is why we ask questions. Yeah. I'm stuck on that one because seriously, bro?
Well, I thought that was an Arrow reference. That has nothing to do with, like, anything he's ever said.
The best ridiculous in-joke they had was, well, Oliver can't be busy right now. No, if you watch Arrow, the city is falling apart at the seams, and they're basically at the threshold of hell.
Right. Oh, funny.
And I just thought Oliver was inquisitive. Oh, he must ask a lot of questions all the time.
No, he really doesn't. He doesn't. So it kind of was a little strange.
But he's a master interrogator, everyone.
True.
Is that his specialty?
Yes.
Yeah. He shoots first, but make sure they're still alive to ask questions later.
Okay, so let's get into the actual episode. And from the very beginning, Vandal Savage made his appearance from the boat.
He looks so badass.
He does
like,
look
I cannot even stare away from him. He's just, from the second I saw the first image of him, when was that, months ago? I was like, oh my god, I can't wait till he comes on to the TV set, and now he's here, and he's everything I ever wanted him to be. Oh, he's so awesome.
Yeah, he looks like a primo villain.
Yeah.
Like, he looks real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was digging it. I really liked him.
Yeah. I love the knife aspect. Yeah.
Was that good?
Can you do it again?
One for you and one for you. It's like Oprah, and you get a knife.
You get a knife.
Vandal, Oprah, American friend. Stand corrected.
But I'll take them all back later once you're dead.
Yeah.
Exactly. He's been recovering his knives because all of his knives are centuries old.
They're vintage.
Yes.
I know, that's true, yeah. Every time he gets them, like, all right, take it right back. Okay. Peace.
But he was an awesome villain, too, that, like, I get definitely see stretching over an entire season, which they're planning to do for Legends of Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
It piqued our interest enough. CW is so smart, and they know exactly, and not just CW, but obviously DC, they know what they're doing. They're like, okay, you guys think you're watching Arrow, you're not watching Flash? We're going to make you. Mm-hmm. And you're not watching these two shows, and you weren't planning on watching Legends. Ha ha, joke's on you.
Yeah.
This is Vandal. He's coming over here. You want to play with this toy? He's over here now. Come get him. Like, that's what they're doing, guys.
It was a perfect crossover in that there's just, like, it pretty much was, like, three shows. It's like a three-show crossover, technically.
Yeah.
It's like it's going to sprawl into three shows. And now I have to watch not just Flash. I have to watch Arrow, and I have to watch
Thursday nights were free.
Yes.
Not anymore.
And then they perfectly positioned that Legends of Tomorrow trailer to show Vandal Savage and then all the superheroes we love, including Kendra Saunders and Atom, Low Rent Iron Man.
We'd have to get different rides.
Yeah, like what you said though, it was like a three show crossover.
Yeah.
I love also, because we are talking about Vandal, but seeing Hawk Girl and her coming to her full What do we even call that? Her full Hawker
awakening. Yes. Emerge? She has to emerge.
I do love that she didn't stick the landing. Like, yeah, we weren't nice. Going with absolutely perfect the first time. Like, right. Thank you. That makes her human.
Well, yeah, I was a little confused with their wings working. So it only pops up when they fly, but when they're on the ground, it sinks like right back into their body.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And it doesn't rip the shirt.
Well, I'd like to imagine that they're mystic wings. Like, they essentially appear out of air, and then, like, in the same way that all magic does, it just kind of appears, and then it disappears when you need it.
I believe the phrase is, it's magic, I don't have to explain it.
Yeah.
So I buy that.
And while we're on the subject, I mean, like, we should get into it. She and Hawkman are mystic people, Chiara and Khufu. Is that from the comics, that backstory?
They're aliens in the comics.
And Hawk Girl and Hawkman being together is absolutely backstory. I thought that, I don't know about the 2,000 years, if there have been different versions.
4,000.
Sorry, 4,000 years. And the 261 deaths or something. I think that that's specific to this show, but mm-hmm. I thought it was cool that it was some expository language, but I was happy to hear it. I wanted to know how they got here. I just feel so bad for Sisko.
I know. I was thinking about that, too.
Yeah.
I will never be over the fact that his name is Khufu.
You can't move on?
There's a board game called Atmosphere where you play as horror icons, and it's Khufu the Mummy, and the way they introduce it is this, Khufu the Mummy! Like, I can't get over it.
Nice.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Well,
Khufu could have been, like, original name back then. It could have been, like, a Sisko of their time.
Well, oh, my God.
I didn't dislike him. I thought he was great. I needed him to stop being called Birdman because I was like, oh, God, just get to Hawkman. Yeah. I really liked him, but Sisko, guys, he's our Sisko.
He finally finds a girl.
He still has Golden Glider, guys. I mean, she's hanging out in the wings.
Is that what you're pulling, Tari?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, but
I feel like that's a danger ship.
Yeah.
Guys, not to like throw shade, but I really don't feel like Sisko and Kendra are that great a couple. Ooh. I just
compatible.
I love them individually, but I don't see them meeting on the street and then being like, oh, wait, we should definitely be soulmates.
Well, I mean, that's kind of how it happened. He saw her making coffee, and then he kicked a game.
If someone came up to me on the street that I didn't know and said, we should definitely be soulmates, I'm like, and out. So, no, that's not how you
Or it could be an integral great
someone.
Romantic comedy.
No, I'm
that's
not
true.
I'm not saying,
oh, God,
I'm not saying
no.
language. I'm saying the two actors. Like, mm-hmm. They're cast to have chemistry and fall in love. And I see that they have chemistry, but I don't buy this gorgeous Sierra Renee, like, dating this, like, nerdy guy. Sisko. That's what I'm saying.
I do see what you're saying. I'm sorry. Tara,
no.
Go ahead.
I mean, because he's also, like, a super genius.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and he's funny. And
I think
he's charming.
Really cute.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, she's very attractive, but also, like, he's not... he's also attractive, and he's also smart, so I feel like
I'm not saying he's ugly, she's pretty. I'm saying, like, I envision him with, like, a Felicity type who's, like, nerdy cute and not, like, a model who I can see, like, walking the runway, honestly.
I see what you're saying.
Have very different standards of beauty, dude.
I see what you're saying, but I think that Kendra, that this is when Sisko really started falling for her, when she decided to cook the dinner and bring him in for that. I think he just never has been treated so sweetly before. Think about his relationship with Golden Glider. She comes in, she messes around with him, she leaves. Like, it's not what it's like. So he says, I've never felt like this before. That doesn't necessarily mean, oh my God, I'm in love, we're so compatible. I just think it means, like, I've never been paid attention to like this. This is new for me.
Yeah.
And he's still at the point where they couldn't say boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah.
She's my friend whom I kiss sometimes.
Yeah.
She's my beautiful friend. She kisses me on occasion.
Yeah.
Stopped asking me questions.
So it's not like an automatic soulmates thing. They're still working on it.
I don't want to spend the entire show on it, but I'm not saying, like, soulmates. I'm just saying, like, I don't think she'd give him that much attention.
You feel like she's more compatible with Hawkman.
Yeah,
just seeing them for the couple seconds.
Yeah, who I was really impressed with. I think he had some, like, cheesy leaning lines. I thought his, like, delivery of them was really fantastic.
I agree. The Robin Hood line, swoon, totally.
The cheese works better on him than it does on Oliver.
Yeah.
Right.
I, that's what I felt bad about, though. I wanted to hate him so I could be like, go, let's just go. But I was like, ooh, they've been together for 4,000 years. Yeah, sorry, bro.
Yeah, totally.
But technically, you could also say that's a bad relationship, because if we've been together for 40,000 years, for 4,000 years, and we keep dying and getting killed, you know, Cisco said, yeah, well, clearly you didn't help her before. You guys keep dying.
Can you guys explain something to me? Because you guys are avid comic book readers, and I'm curious. So she has just got, she's just come to town, mm-hmm. but beforehand she said she grew up and had this whole life. So I don't understand, at what point did she die? Like, in, and how was she reincarnated? Was she reincarnated as a 20-something-year-old, or was she reincarnated
as a small child? So she's just born.
She's lived this whole life, right. And what has Hawkman been doing?
He's also been dying and coming back to life.
I think he just emerged previously, just like she did, but he just probably emerged sooner.
What I'm saying, though, is that they've been together for 4,000 years. What have they been doing for the last 20-something years? Has he been watching her? Has he been waiting for the moment? Or is he also...
that didn't bother me, because, like, just like she didn't know...
No, it didn't bother me. I'm curious.
It didn't strike me, I'm saying, because, like, she didn't know she was Hawk Girl until, like, about 5 minutes ago. He maybe didn't know until, like, 7 minutes ago.
See,
until
this he is jumped what off I want line. To know, though. Because, yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking. Yeah. How did he find out if the quickest way to do it is, you know, a long drop and a short stop? Yeah. How did he figure this? Did he jump off a bridge or what?
Yeah, that's either a bad accident or a bad day. So, you know, I don't know
bad
exactly
life.
What happened there. Yeah. But I do. I feel the chemistry there. I'll follow them.
Yeah. So then they take Kendra to Star City to protect him.
Because Star City is the safest place on the planet right now.
Yeah, weird move.
With sarcasm.
Well, they didn't know, is the thing. And how do you not know what's going on in your neighbor city with your friend, the other vigilante? Like, how do you not turn on the news and be like, oh, stuff's going down in Star City?
It's probably all over Twitter.
I think people are live tweeting, I just saw one of the ghosts, # lucky to live.
Well, and I like this episode so much because a lot of my quote unquote problems or concerns with the show are how rushed it is always, and having 2 hours to tell one story felt really luxurious, and then other times it felt really rushed again, like, let's take him to Star City, and they were said, okay, sure.
Yeah,
well, it just was very sudden.
Yeah, you could tell they want to get things moving. I mean, that bothered me too, but I felt like I understood it. They just wanted to just keep it pushing and get things started. Like, all right, we gotta go Star City. Boom, boom, boom.
Right.
Yeah. I figured it was just.
And yeah. I have to say, though, as a non-Arrow watcher, it was a little bit weird for me to have Damian Dark having his, like, appearance and then going away, the Malcolm popping in and out each time.
Well, I love that was awesome. So much, yeah. Both Damian and Malcolm, because Malcolm is known as the Magician. That was his name in the Assassin's Guild. So,
oh, really?
In the League of Assassins, rather. And so that makes sense for him to, you know, enter a room like Mystical Kramer. And Damian Dark is a ball of terror and camp anyway. And so him just being like, what happened? It's like, yep, that is on the spot. I like that.
Someone just pointed out, I think it was Jay Hyde, that it's in the comic books, it's always up to Hawkman. He's the one who always finds Hawk Girl every time they die and reminds her. It's like his fate to find her and always bring her back.
Interesting.
Oh, got it. Got it. Sticking on this point for a second, though, the Malcolm one I totally understood, and I liked that they kind of let the Flash audience in on it by having Barry keep being like, does he always do that? Or Cisco being like, who is that? And Thea being like, that's my dad.
Yeah.
But the Damian one, to me, even though I understood what was going on, I didn't find it necessary for this crossover. I felt like they were introducing just an additional character for one scene that didn't need to be there.
It was kind of a meanwhile back at the ranch sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
It was a punchline to a joke.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I don't know how you guys felt about that. Did you enjoy both of those characters, either of them?
Well, in retrospect, seeing how you don't see him again for the rest of the episode, yeah, I kind of agree with you. Because when that happened, I kind of thought it was going to be him working with Vandal. I kind of thought it was going to be a villain mashup, and they're working together.
Watch that TV program.
Yeah, that's what I thought was going to happen. But when he just lost, and now I don't think he's coming back.
And we're probably going to see him on the second half of the cast.
Yeah. I mean, I would hope so. If that's the case, then okay. But if not, then yeah, I do think they kind of wasted him.
Yeah, I got that Malcolm was there to keep driving the story farther, just being like, oh, he's magical, he's from the past, like, he's looking for this, like, staff. But, like, the other guy, the blonde Damian, like, it was distracting. Because I knew he was a series regular, but I didn't know, like, why should we pay attention to him in this story they're telling.
Well, yeah. They introduced the staff actually on Arrow when they had the Constantine crossover, because that's what Constantine was looking for in the flashbacks of that episode. So the Arrow audience has a little bit of context for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
How it ever got out of Constantine's hands and into a church, we just don't know.
Hmm.
You know, Constantine be hanging out in churches all the time.
Yes, but why would he leave it there unprotected is the question.
You know.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, things to do.
I love
bought liquor, some cigarettes,
totes.
You know?
When we go to the church and Arrow's like, I haven't been in one of these places in a long time. It's like, yeah. I like that. Some good lines from him, too, tonight.
Yeah. We mentioned the drink scene earlier, but for me, that was like, we have some, like, big villains to defeat, but, like, let's just have some time to ourselves and have this drink. Well, it felt a little bit out of place, even though I liked it.
I mean, I kind of understood it. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Why?
I think you need that, especially when they're all doing what is essentially an extremely high-stress job. You kind of need that moment to take a breather and relax. And as Felicity pointed out, Oliver was getting into interrogation gear, and they needed a change of setting, a change of pace, get out of your business clothes, etc. Let's talk about this like friends.
I guess for me, the danger was too pressing and too like present that you can't take a break.
Right. I hear what you're saying, Katie, but I agree with you, Jeff. And especially after earlier on in the episode, which we'll get to what happens with Caitlin and Wells, but Barry being confused on why he's not fast enough and how there's somebody out there, Zoom's out there four times faster, and Barry's like, well, I'm off to go see Patty. Up, I'm off drinking here, like, it's because you're doing other things and you have a social life and you're not just buckling down and getting this done. So I'm not saying that's the wrong thing to do. You should have a life, but then you can't really stop and ask, like, why am I not fast enough or why aren't we doing well enough? You're drinking with your friends. That's what you do at that age, I guess.
Right. Well, but it's like when Vikings and old soldiers have a drink before they go off to war. Yeah. It's kind of like, it's a way of kind of getting all on the same page, making sure you're caught up, because essentially everyone has their own baggage between the two shows, and so once you're able to air that out, you're like, alright, now we know what our directive is.
I didn't think it was a drink before you go off to war, though. I felt like it was a drink during a battle. Like, mid-battle, yes. Hold on, let's take the shot. Okay, now I'm ready. I loved watching it because I love the the social aspect and the interaction of characters, but I don't know if it logistically makes sense.
I kind of agree with Katie, only that with her name's Felicity.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when I feel like Felicity did that to kind of break the tension. I agree that she was trying to break the tension. But when you have Kendra just walking out and they leave her walk away to de-stress, that's when I'm kind of agreeing with Roxy and Jeff, where it's just like, all right, guys, you're just going to let her walk away. There's an immortal trying to kill her, and they just let her and Cisco. And she left the building.
I felt like it was super strange how easily they trusted Kendra. She's like, yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not hot girl. I would have been like, who are you? Like, I mean, I get too aggressive in those moments.
No,
but,
I know.
But
you would have been Oliver.
Totally.
Right. Yeah.
But everybody else was like, Oliver, calm down. Nobody else is like, who is this girl? Why are we protecting her? Sorry, Cisco, she's not even your girlfriend. You just kiss her sometimes?
I know.
What?
You don't even have a label yet. Yeah. We're sacrificing soldiers? And we don't even know who she is.
Exactly.
That's a good point.
I mean, I think it was just the writers being like, we need this to happen fast, so we're going to make her trustworthy. Everyone knows that she's hot girl, so, you know, just let her do the thing.
It's almost mid-season, guys.
I feel like we had a little bit of peeking from the other side of the fourth wall from Barry as well. Oh, this guy felt different. Oh, this guy felt mystical. How could you tell?
About Vandal.
Yeah.
He felt different.
He just had to know. So the writers were like,
magic vibe.
And here's the other side of the fourth wall, and go.
He says, right off the bat, he's not a metahuman.
It felt mystical.
Yeah. How do you know that, Barry?
Barry doesn't have any
Spidey
experience with magic.
It would be different if Cisco had that feeling, like, I got a vibe.
Yeah.
I know. That's
true. That's a great idea.
That would have been really smart, actually.
So now apparently Barry vibes.
Cisco
didn't touch him.
That's true.
And it has to be a contact.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe one of his knives.
Another example of like when they rush it to like, because they have to tell the story within this like hour time frame.
Two hours.
Yeah. You're right.
We also had that with some of the editing choices. It felt like a scene would stop right in the middle and we'd go over to someplace else.
Right.
Like a lot of those scenes felt truncated.
Mm.
Yeah. It's, you mentioned Felicity earlier and how, like, she was funnier in this episode. Is she not that funny in actual Arrow?
Oh, no. She actually fits really well in Flash.
Yeah.
Okay. She fits well for both.
Because I'm, like, smitten with her. I want to watch Arrow just for her.
Oh, do it. She's amazing.
Yeah. And the one moment when she's in Arrow in Oliver's headphones and he's like, honey, I can hear you. Like, that's very typical Felicity and Oliver these days.
Yeah.
But it wasn't always like that.
Right.
So that's what I was talking about when they're getting a little more campy, a little more fun. Felicity's character has a lot of that fun recently.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. What did everyone think when Hawkman swooped in and grabbed Kendra from the streets?
I got
and
excited.
And then there's this asshole.
No, yeah, yeah. I got excited because I didn't know he was going to... I didn't think he was going to pop up yet.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was going to pop up.
Because
everything,
everything
was just so hot girl oriented that when he just swooped in out of nowhere, I was like, oh, all
right. Right.
Right to the action.
I hope I don't get in trouble for this, but I was thinking, like, I turned to you guys and said, is this Hawkman, or is this, like, Earth 2 Kendra coming in, or what's going on? Is this, because we didn't see the face for the first swoop, but then it made a lot of sense, and I was really happy to see him.
Well, I mean, that's a valid, with everything that's going on.
I couldn't believe nobody asked or had that thought process. Like, Kendra is somebody, they think she's somebody that she's not. This has happened to us 4 times this season already.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody was like, maybe he's looking for Earth 2 Kendra?
That's very true.
So that's
what really
I was thinking.
True.
It was a weird...
If you vibed about her and she looks different and everyone's saying she's a hot girl and all that, why wouldn't you think it's Earth 2? You've been meeting doppelgangers the whole half of the season.
Right.
That's really true.
That's inconvenient.
I know.
But Cisco hasn't vibed about anyone's Earth 2 counterpart. If he vibes someone, he vibes them specifically.
Well, he did vibe Earth 2. He vibed Zoom and went to Earth 2 to see what was going on with Will's daughter. But it was still the same Zoom, different Earth.
Right.
Yeah, but he vibed an Earth 2 person to see Earth 2. He's never vibed an Earth Prime person to see an Earth 2 version.
His vibes are changing. Right. They're still growing. I think it would have at least been a thought. Like a, well, she says she's not this person.
But like we said, they're not thinking. No, Kendra's getting fresh air when this guy's trying to kill her, and they send Cisco with her. Mm-hmm. Cisco has a passive power.
I know.
He
I know.
Can't fight.
Right.
Yeah. Cisco's capable.
Really intense move by her, though. She's like, no, I gotta do this. I gotta jump.
Yeah.
I would have been like, all right, Barry, let me jump as many times. You just stand there. If I'm getting this close, just snatch me up.
But
that's what it has to be.
Thing.
Yeah.
That's what's holding her back, is having that safety net.
100%, but I wouldn't have been willing to let that go.
And that's why you're not Hawk Girl.
I could be. I could be
could
Hawk
you
Girl.
Be?
We wouldn't know.
Please don't test the theory.
Yeah, I was gonna say, let's not find out.
Let's go to the top of this building. Let's make it happen.
No.
Are you going to be my Barry Allen?
No. Roxy, don't ruin your shirt.
Thanks, James.
Priorities, right? Another thing I really like about this episode that really stuck out to me, and it's been happening a lot the last couple of episodes, Barry's been getting more and more witty and more trash talky in his suit.
Yeah.
And I like that, because that's very flashy. And I like that. He's very, like, he always had dropped an awesome one-liner. Like, do you think we won? All right, sweet. After they fought Vandal Savage in the church, like, we can call that a tie, right? Okay, cool. You know, that's very, okay. I like that. I like that we're seeing more of his quick wit. He's getting more confident in the suit.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That's something that really stuck out to me in this episode.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point. I like those
Thank
moments.
You, Jeff.
I like them too. I just hope he doesn't turn into too much of a bully. Because I'm seeing it. Everybody makes fun of me for saying
like
it.
Like Tomac? Like Tomac?
Tokamak.
I think he sometimes can turn into a little bit of a bully.
Well, that's kind of what Flash is known for, is having the really fast mouth and the really quick wit.
Yeah.
Right. And so the fact that they're getting there is a little more in line with the comics and then what our generation is familiar with, the Justice League series.
Yeah. But I'm okay with them bringing in Wally West and bringing in Jay Garrick and having them be more like that. We've met Barry. I don't want Barry to change. I think he's a sweetheart. I think he's a really good guy. I want him to be like the voice of reason in this all. And then when Oliver comes in and he's like,
joking.
Well, yeah, he's trying to show off for all, because they have this very like big brother little brother relationship.
Your city.
Yeah. So I mean, you definitely want to kind of like be a little more snide when your sibling is around.
That's true.
I was very struck too the difference between the Arrow and the other two fighting together as like their little threpple, and the Flash like being his solo self. Like it was really interesting. He's had like partnerships with Firestorm and different people, but it's only for like an episode at a time.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like they're eventually heading that way for the Flash, to be working together, and I think it's going to really change like the feeling and the dynamic and energy of the Flash.
Mm. Yeah, speaking of partnering up with people, did anybody miss Iris tonight?
Yeah. Oh my god, I didn't even realize that.
I wrote that she had 3 minutes.
Yeah. I'm assuming Laurel will be on the second part of the crossover. I doubt Iris will be there. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because Iris joined the Scooby Gang. When they found out that Kendra was in danger, they assembled everybody, and Iris was there.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
Yeah, she went to do reporting and stuff. You know, she has, like, a life. I feel like they were already servicing so many characters in this episode that, like, having her come in for, like, a line would have been really very much of a bummer and an underutilization.
And she didn't really have anything to contribute to the medical drama that was the Dr. Wells corner of this episode.
Yes.
Which I think was actually some of the best parts of the episode, the best written.
Like Patty pulling out the Glock. Patty pulling out the gun.
I think it had the best writing and some of the best action is just that particular part, which is weird because just the way things played out, it was much tighter. There was a lot less bouncing around. Like, this was one of the best written places. It was best executed, I suppose, is a better word.
Yeah.
So I honestly think that was the best part of this episode, was that corner. I know, you'd think I'd be all over the superhero team-up, but some of it was just way too corny and way too rushed for me. This was the best, this little corner of humanity, and getting the guy who hates Dr. Wells to save his life.
I'm very interested into Jay Garrick's character. I really want him. Like, I want to see more of him.
I haven't seen
enough of him, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he keeps just disappearing into nowhere. And he doesn't go home, but he stays on Earth 1 just to kind of pout about.
Yeah, I want to see the costume.
What are you doing?
You know, it's like open night mic at the coffee shop.
That would be
something.
Awesome.
Jitters.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, he's just playing a guitar, singing Smelly Cat.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'd like to imagine he has a blues band.
To make the Jay storyline like make sense for me, I really need him to pop back up next time and be like, look, I've been doing this research and this is what I found and this is how it's going to help you.
I want to know what his problem is aside from I hate Wells.
Yeah, there's got
to
be more.
There has to be something to that because the last little bit of this fell a little flat.
In all fairness, though, he can I hate Wells all he wants and I'm not taking that medicine or that drug, but he saved Wells' life tonight.
Yeah.
He did. Yeah. But I still want to know why. Well, you can help Barry by not giving him a drug that we've obviously seen works. Okay. Why? You're a scientist. Can you explain?
I think I'm hopeful that's going to come up. We're going to really see. He must have done something. Harrison did something to Jay.
Yeah.
To make him not show something. He's got to. He had to have done something.
Remember even earlier in the season, we saw Jay and Wells go head-to-head where Jay was like, no, trust me, you can trust Light. What's the woman's name? Light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dr. Light. Dr. Light. She won't kill anybody. And Wells was like, she will. And she did. So even though I have a thing against Wells because of what we saw last season, and I want to trust Jay, I kind of more inclined to trust Wells right now.
Yeah, me too.
We have more character development from him.
Right. Yeah.
Jay has been extremely one note over the season. He's a coward, he lost his speed, he's angry, and he hates Wells. Like, can we get some more actually from him and not Wells telling us he's a coward?
His biggest connection that we've seen so far has been with Caitlin, though. And Caitlin tonight, not that she threw him under the bus, but she was like, take this medicine. Like, take this drug. You're taking this or else.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't want to, Caitlin. And she was like, shut up and take it. Like, that's my 5-second recap of what happened.
I think they're agreeing with the fact that, they're really being tough on Jay right now. In the chat, he's
Kalia
a wuss.
Jay is being a little bitch.
Yeah, his head out his ass. I mean, I feel you. I mean, I like the costume. I want to see more.
Drugs,
I want to see that costume. I want to see the helmet more. Wear it. Do something with it.
I want more from Jay. I want more development. We've spent a ton of time with Wells.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, Jay just keeps disappearing off into the ether somewhere, and we have no idea.
Now, I'm ready to see Killer Frost. Yeah. Caitlin, I'm ready to see that. Yeah.
That's not going to happen for a while.
I know. That just randomly came in my head.
What do we think when Wells actually got shot, though?
I was like, damn, Patty. Yeah.
Surprising.
I was kind of annoyed with Patty. I feel bad saying it. You guys know I'm obsessed with Patty. I love Patty so much. I was like, Patty, trigger finger a little bit.
Yeah.
Also, the gun that she thought he was holding is like silver and metal. And then the
we
guns
have
are metal.
Two villains that have a heat gun and a cold gun that probably, are both chrome.
And she's looking at him like the master supervillain who killed...
and
Barry's
is supposedly
father. Yeah,
dead.
Right. So she, I can see her getting a little trigger happy.
And she does. In all fairness, they say tonight, didn't Joe tell you? She knows nothing. So yeah. He saw somebody. Okay. But there could have been any other thing. Could be a twin. Could be whatever. Like, girlfriend, you can't just shoot somebody.
Can't just
and she's
pop.
Also on the metahuman hunting team. So right. They'd be a lot more up on the trigger just to try and defend themselves. Because... Mm. God knows what he could do. Evidently, he's back from the dead.
Yeah.
But like Carlo says in the chat, she shot before asking any questions.
And what do we
know,
she's
Katie? Oliver.
Exactly.
Well, I would say that, like, I mean, she looked legitimately surprised that he was shot. Because, I mean, as far as we know, she knows that he's a speedster, right? So, yeah. I mean, she could have assumed that he would have either dodged it or she had to get him before he got her.
That's true.
So, yeah, shoot him in the arm then.
And she did tell him, you know, don't move, stay there.
Yeah.
And he didn't listen.
I mean, you know, Barry probably told her so much on these dates because she knows who Barry is now. So Barry probably informed her everything that went on.
No, she doesn't know Barry.
She doesn't.
Somebody above in the chat, I think it was Darna something, said that she's playing dumb. This could go back to my original theory that she's from Earth 2. Maybe she's aware of this whole situation. Maybe she's pretending like she doesn't know anything. Because if we think about it and we think that this show is eventually going to get Iris and Barry together, that means somehow we're going to have to get her out of the picture. And
that
maybe
would be crazy.
Maybe she is a bigger bad than we're giving her credit for. She's cozying up to us, but maybe not.
Do you think Zoom or having Zoom on a leash? Which do you think?
Working under Zoom, I think. Oh, but
so you think she's the dragon instead of Xanatos?
Maybe. If she has Zoom on the leash, though, then we have a whole season 3.
The thing is, though, she came from Earth 2, then why didn't Wells recognize her?
Because he doesn't know her there?
Yeah, she doesn't know everyone in the city ever?
But if she's a villain, like, coming, she knows everything. I feel like she would be in his, like, periphery.
But if she works in the shadows, I mean, how would you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've no like theories.
How would you know? I don't know.
It's like if Zoom is Darth Vader. Everyone knows Darth Vader. He's terrifying. How many people have actually met the Emperor?
Right.
Right.
Good comparison.
Yeah. Not bad. I wasn't too shabby.
Patty, the Emperor.
Yeah.
This show. Turn to the dark side.
This show introduced a lot more magical elements than we're used to in The Flash. I really liked it. How did everyone else feel? I would like to see more of this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it. I liked it. Yeah, I thought it was cool. I mean, it didn't jump out to me. It was just because it was very subtle. It wasn't too, like, magic.
Right.
There's still more arrows. I just saw so many, because I'm not used to arrows, so I saw so many gosh damn arrows.
I guess I'm envisioning the church scene and, like, the wand. What is it called?
The Lazarus. I just don't want them to use it as an excuse ever, because it's like with the Lazarus pit, I feel like we are relying on it too much now. We're sending too many people there with the magic. It's easy to be like to negate whatever's happened in the past, to bring back whoever you want. And while that's fun, I want to still believe in things like science and that Oliver can, even though he doesn't have superpowers, that he can be as strong or whatever it is. Right. So I like it. To a certain extent.
Well, the Lazarus Pit has been removed from play.
Yeah. Right, but
it was destroyed, it's no longer a revolving door of death.
Yeah, which is good.
Yeah. I'm the opposite of you in that, like, I like the mystical portion of it in that when it's a science-based villain or a science-based problem, they can always just be like, well, according to Einstein's theory, this is our solution. Whereas, like, when it's magic, they have
just
to find
like
alternative routes and alternative solutions, which I like because it makes them think a little bit more.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I like them, it being a problem, but I don't like magic always being the solution.
Well, and that's interesting, because we've had rumors that Constantine might be in Legends of Tomorrow for Season 2, which would definitely shift our magical dynamic.
Of course.
Yeah. Real quick, that Firestorm costume. Huh? That thing, that Firestorm costume looked so nice.
From the trailer.
Did that Firestorm costume, the updated costume really good. Looks so good.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, I'm sorry. It caught my eye.
We're almost out of time. Before we go, though, we have to talk about the woman and her baby. For all of the Flash people, tell us why you guys are freaking out, because I know it's a big deal.
Tari.
Okay, so... Alright, I guess I'll start from the beginning. Before Oliver was on the island, he had impregnated a girl, and his mom didn't want his life to be ruined. So she paid the woman $1 million to basically tell Oliver that the baby had died or was aborted and to leave town forever. So in the last crossover, we saw her in Cafe Jitters as like either just as Oliver had left, or just kind of in a passing scene. And so in this time...
But Oliver didn't see her at all.
Right. And she was on her phone talking to, oh, hey, honey, I'll bring you home some chocolate milk. So she's talking to her kid.
Right. And so...
And that's when we felt like the kid was still alive, because we didn't know whether the kid was alive or dead.
Yeah.
And then...
And then we get them hanging out in Cafe Jitters in another oddly... low stakes, high stakes scene, where essentially he sees this kid, he gives them a flash, the action figure, and then he realizes who that kid runs to, and it's that girl who had his baby.
Who had his baby about the right age.
And he doesn't think that she had a baby, but she really clearly did. And the kid looked exactly like Oliver and was like, thank you, sir. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
I'm freaking out.
I don't even watch Arrow when it got me. When they told me what that was, I was like, oh, that's well dropped.
He has to go say something. He has to go say hello.
Is that my baby?
We knew that something was going to happen because we had the previously on the Flash and Arrow, and we had the scene with Moira paying off the girl. So it's like, obviously. We haven't seen Moira in a season and a half.
And so if he does have a son, how does that play into the larger story?
Well, we just don't know. He has more to lose. The more you have, the more you have to lose, the more you have to protect. Right now, he's got Felicity. He's saying he's happy. He's good. This is a whole different dynamic.
Wow. Yeah.
And he's been lied to.
Wow.
I just don't understand how we can do this going into the second part of the crossover. Like, how's he going to go up to this girl and be like, yo, I haven't seen you in a while. Sorry about what my mom did paying you off. P.S. That kid looks an awful lot like me. Gotta go save the world.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I'm expecting at some point in Arrow for Damian to get a hold of that information and subsequently to get a hold of the child.
Mm. Yeah.
Sounds like we're heading towards prediction territory. Before we go, we'll give one quick update. That Supergirl crossover, which has been so rumored about, I was reading articles all last week that if Supergirl gets picked up, that it's only because a Flash crossover will happen this season. It was picked up, and our favorite producer, who's the producer?
Berlanti,
thank you, came out and said that there is absolutely no talks whatsoever between networks that Supergirl and Flash will have a crossover.
He's lying.
Season one.
Every single producer on both shows has said, no, not happening,
And so they haven't said that in a while, but Berlanti came back out and was like, yo, stop it.
Yeah.
Don't believe
Berlanti, Johns, all the president over at CBS, it's not even, everybody's like, mm-mm.
But because Supergirl numbers were not doing too well, people were thinking, oh, Flash would really help increase that.
I gotta tell you that I heard, this is on the DL, but...
it's on the DL and also on air.
Well, I'm not gonna say who told me, but I heard that Supergirl was signed for 2 seasons.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
So that they're not worrying about their numbers.
Mm. Oh, that's nice.
That's good.
Okay, guys.
Give them time to build it up.
Let's do some quick predictions.
Oh, crap.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV prediction.
Katie, you already said that you think the kid will eventually be kidnapped when Damian finds out. Any other things to contribute?
Well, that's more long-term predictions in terms of Arrow. In terms of Flash, I will be very surprised if we don't see Wally before the end of the season. In terms of this crossover, the good thing about having Arrow be the second half is that Arrow is the show where everything goes to hell. So we can have everything go to hell, and it'll be great!
Okay.
We had that huge billowing explosion and flames in the preview. I mean, come on. Things are gonna go down, and I am super excited.
I literally have no idea what to expect, especially because we know that the villain cannot die. You know?
Yeah. Literally.
So he's not going to, like, run away. We can't put him in hiding. We can't probably put him in the prison we built. So who knows?
Yeah.
Okay.
What are you thinking?
Sure. Okay. All right. I got the glare. I think the way they're going to stop Vandal Savage is in the series, they're clearly going through time into League of a
Legend of Tomorrow.
Yes. Sorry, guys. So the Legend of Tomorrow. So I think they're just going to go back in time, maybe stop him from being born, or stop him before he gets the ability to become immortal. I think that's going to be the failsafe.
Okay.
Now, this just came to me right now. I think the serum that they just made right now to make Barry faster is going to be the serum or some way, some shape or form going to be help make Wally West into the Flash. That serum's going to give him his Speed Force.
Okay.
That'd be awesome.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
No, I was thinking the exact same thing.
Do you think that Jay might get his powers back from that serum? That there might be lingering effects?
All three of them better be fast by the end of the season. I'm dead serious. They all three
of
them.
We better get Wally West at some point this season.
For real? Yeah.
I'll be upset if he just shows up at the last episode. Like, hey, guys. My name's Wally. Then everyone's shocked. Then it's...
I mean, that would be a good mid-season finale, though. Because it just opens up a door.
Yes. Mid-season finale, not season finale.
We
yes.
have how mid-season. Many episodes till mid-season? One or two?
Two, I think.
I don't know. We'll figure out later. Roxy,
my prediction is that Patty is full-blown evil. She comes from E2, and no! we're not going to get it for a while. But I think it's happening. I hate to say it, but I do.
You think she's the emperor?
She's the emperor, maybe.
That'd be awesome. I think that Hawkman is going to die next episode, and that's going to be the way that they kind of stave off Vandal. He'll essentially absorb whatever power he gets from killing Hawkman, and then he'll disappear into the ether. And that's why only Hawk Girl is in Legends of Tomorrow, because I think that Hawkman will start his own new cycle.
Hawkman in Legends of Tomorrow?
I thought he wasn't.
I didn't really hear about Hawk Girl.
I'm pretty sure he is.
I don't know if he's a regular or maybe he's just appearing. So
this is why we have Google.
We're going to Google after the show, guys. This was so much fun. Where can everybody find you, Katie? I know you'll be in the after show tomorrow for Arrow.
I will. You can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at Kiaxet. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. You can also find me on Snapchat at Kia Prime. We're doing a threefer for after shows tomorrow. We're moving the Blind Spot mid-season finale to 7. We have Star Wars at 8, and then Arrow, we're filming at 10, second half of this, and Z Nation on Sunday.
Busy day.
Oh my God. Yeah. Tari will be on the after show as well. Where can everybody find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Tari J. It's TauriJay.
You guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer.
You guys can find me on Twitter at Michael_Drew, Michael EAL.
And I'm on Twitter, Jeff Masters 1, and everywhere else. Guys, we'll see you next week.
One,
good night.
One.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.